I mean, you could pick your nose real easily. You can really get in there deep and get, you know, shove that finger up in there and really get those boogers way up into the sinus cavity.
What's your favorite part about going to the Grand Canyon? The Dippin' Dots.
What's up, everyone? My name is Mike, and here's my co-host, Aaron.
Hi.
We would like to welcome you to Episode 7 of the Applesauce Podcast. Thank you for downloading our podcast and taking the time to listen. If you have any suggestions, comments, or feedback, please send them to Aaron at theapplesaucepod@gmail.com.
Theapplesaucepod@gmail.com.
Or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/theapplesaucepod. We'd love hearing from our listeners. Now, is there anything that you would like to say or do before we get started, Aaron?
Nothing at all.
Okay, well, let's begin. And we'll start off with a question that was sent in by a listener. And here it is. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
That's a very good question. Depends on what your definition of a sandwich is.
Okay, so what's your definition of a sandwich?
My definition of a sandwich is anything in between two pieces of bread.
Okay.
And by this definition, some would say a hot dog is in between two pieces of bread. But no, a hot dog is in between one piece of bread. Because the bun, however, if you split the bun in half and make it two pieces, then technically the hot dog would be a sandwich.
So then what if you went to like Subway where they give you on a sub roll that's not fully cut through? Are those not sandwiches then?
No, not a sandwich.
Okay, well, I did take a moment and I Googled the definition of a sandwich. And basically what I got from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, which is the definitive source of definitions for most people, an item of food consisting of two pieces of bread with meat, cheese, or other filling between them, eaten as a light meal. And in quotes it says, a ham sandwich.
That's using the quotes as an example.
I know. Well, I understand it. I'm just saying that was the definition there. The thing that got me was it said two pieces of bread. And see, I don't always think it has to be two pieces of bread. I think if it's just meat, pardon the pun here. I don't know if it's a pun. Two meats sandwiched in between meat sandwiched in between bread is a sandwich. Whether it's two pieces, whether it's one piece cut into a V shape, whether it's just kind of not cut all the way through, To me, you go to Subway, those are sandwiches. They're not cut all the way through, though, all the time. They're still attached and they're flapped open. But that's a sandwich.
True.
And that's just like a hot dog bun, which, by definition, a hot dog would be a sandwich. And I have a problem with that because I don't think of a hot dog as a sandwich. Just like I don't think of a hamburger as a sandwich, but by your definition, a hamburger is a sandwich.
Yes.
To me, that's not a sandwich. That's a hamburger. That's a whole different category. When you go to a restaurant, most restaurants don't put hamburgers and hot dogs under the sandwich category. They put them under the burgers, or they have a different category for those items.
Very true. But that's just because most people, when they think of burgers, they don't think of sandwiches, even though by definition, they are.
So I guess the answer is technically, I mean, for me, technically, a hot dog is a sandwich. But I don't refer to it as a sandwich. I have to refer to it as its own category, which is a hot dog.
Agreed.
All right, and now we shall move on to our would you rather questions. So, Aaron, would you rather get a paper cut between your fingers every time you touch paper or bite your tongue every time you eat something?
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't get paper cuts often anymore, which is, I'm glad, because they hurt a lot. But then again, when I bite my tongue, it hurts a lot. I bit my tongue the other day, and it's still really sore from that. And I really don't like it. But I'm sure after some time, if I were to get a paper cut every single time I touch paper, I'd either bleed out, or my skin would just become really, really, really tough. So, I mean, would you rather have your tongue become really tough or in between your fingers become really, really tough?
For me? Well, I think for me, it's both of these suck. You know, paper cuts are horrible. And what's even worse than getting the paper cut is if you were to put some hand sanitizer on your hand after a paper cut and it burns and stings, I hate that. And then the biting the tongue is just a painful thing. And once you bite the tongue in one spot, you tend to repeatedly bite it in the same spot. Like that spot swells up, becomes more noticeable, and you tend to hit that spot over and over again. But for me, I look at this and go, it's easier for me to avoid touching paper than it is to avoid eating.
Yes.
So I would have to go with the paper cut and just do everything possible to never touch paper again.
I think it'd be funny to try and watch you do that without telling people. So like, hey, can you get me something from the printer? Why can't you get it? Can you just get me something from the printer? Why can't you get it? Et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I could wear gloves because then I'm not technically touching the paper. The glove is, so then I could get around that. It's a loophole around the problem, I think. Because you can't get a paper cut through a set of gloves unless it's like razor sharp paper.
Couldn't you just like get rid of all your teeth and then technically it's impossible to bite your tongue then? You just drink everything?
Well, if you drink, it just says every time you eat, you bite your tongue, not every time you drink. So if you just had a completely liquid diet, then you could probably, you know, you could get away from not having to bite your tongue, but I don't want to go to a liquid diet. I'd rather enjoy eating and just suffer through touching paper.
Maybe, but what if you're in a scenario where wearing gloves is inappropriate?
Then I don't touch paper.
Well, what if you're reading your grandfather's will at their funeral and gloves aren't appropriate?
Well, first of all, you don't read a will at a funeral that's done beforehand, and you usually have a lawyer read the will, so I don't have to touch. I just sit there and listen to the reading. I don't have to actually read it and touch the paper myself.
You get my point.
And I could just pull some gloves out and just, you know, say I'm a germaphobe. I don't like to touch things, and just put a pair of, you know, latex gloves on.
Okay.
I can get around that. All right, next question. Would you rather have legs as long as your fingers or have fingers as long as your legs? So short, really short legs or really long fingers.
How fun would that be, though, to be running around using your fingers? That would look really, really, really
weird.
Well, it
just says fingers as long as your legs, not fingers that are legs.
Yes, but if they're as long as your legs, you can use them in a similar way.
Maybe. I mean, you could pick your nose real easily. You can really get in there deep and get, you know, shove that finger up in there and really get those boogers way up into the sinus cavity.
That would hurt, though.
I'm just saying, they could be useful that way.
And you'd have to put your...
And think about it, you could scratch your back so much easier. If your back itched, you could get to anywhere. You could get to anywhere.
No, that's considering if you can lift your arm up high enough.
Well, they're still flexible. You've got the double, the extra joints in your fingers. They're still fingers. They're just as long as your legs.
Yeah.
So you've got those extra joints. You don't have just the one knee.
Okay.
So you got the double knuckle there. I guess technically it would be the two knuckles on your finger and then the joint where it joins to your hand.
Yeah.
It's almost three knuckles there. So you could get to your back anywhere you needed to scratch it.
I'm trying to... Would they still be proportional or would all your fingers be the same size?
I would think they would... I don't think it'd be proportional. They would all be as long as your leg. So they'd all be kind of the same size.
How would you hold things?
It would be difficult. You'd have to manipulate, you know, using just your fingertips. But think about like at a buffet. You could just reach right wherever you wanted to with your fingers and just pick up the tongs and get what you wanted.
Pickpocketing would be so much easier.
Maybe, but you might be getting, I don't know. I don't know how clumsy it would be to control a finger that long, you know,
but
to pickpocket somebody.
I wouldn't yell at someone pickpocketing someone if they had fingers as long as their legs.
They would be pretty easy to pick out in a lineup, though, is you're in there and you're the only one with fingers that long. Well, it's the guy with the long fingers.
True.
I don't know if I'd resort to pickpocketing. It's you and your evil mind that always goes to the criminal side of things.
I'm just looking at all sides.
Well, I think, to me, having legs as long as my fingers would be really frustrating. Because you wouldn't be able to walk really anywhere. You'd have to, you know, you'd have to use your hands, or you'd be more hindered in life than if you had fingers as long as your legs. You would just look weird either way.
Yeah.
And people might mock you, but I think the longer fingers would be more. There's more use. There's more use. They're more useful than the shorter legs.
Pickpocketing.
Scratching your back. All right. Next question. Would you rather have $1 million now or $5,000 a week for the rest of your life?
See, if I got $5,000 a week for the rest of my life, I wouldn't have much. I would be able to do a lot of stuff now that I wouldn't have been able to do before. However, I don't have much use for $1 million and then not getting money after. I am to the point where I can take that and accumulate it enough so by the time I really need to use it, I can.
Yeah, I think it's the whole of, you know, the instant gratification of $1 million now, or can you wait at the $5,000 a week? For the lottery, they always tell you, take the lump sum payout, it's better. You know, you take the lump sum, you invest it, and your return is more than what you would get if you took the payout, yearly payouts on that over the course, I think it's 20 years or 25, however it's broke down. But this is a little different, because if you think about it, if you take that $1 million and invest the whole thing now, it would grow, and when you take a 10% yearly growth, you're getting about $100,000 back the first year. At the $5,000 a week, that's about $260,000 a year.
Yeah.
So it takes you 4 years to get to the $1 million.
Yeah.
At that point, the $1 million would be about $1.5 million or more by investing it. That's if you don't spend a dime of that. But with that $5,000, you're at 4 years, you're at $1 million, so 5-6 years to finally catch up with the $1 million. So between six and seven years or so, you would catch up. You'd then even out with the two. The thing is that $5,000 a week is still returning you a $260,000 return every year. That $1 million hasn't got big enough to get that. So at that point, you then start to pass it, and it's a while before the $1 million catches up. The other thing is that's not spending a dime, that $1 million. So yeah, you can't, so you're sitting there for years not being able to touch that money because you're trying to grow the investment. Or with the $5,000, I get it, I can spend it. I'm still getting $5,000 next week, so I'm still having that money. So I think the $1 million right off the bat would be nice because you could go get things right now. But at $5,000 a week, that's, you can live off that very well. I mean, you can live an amazing life at $5,000 a week,
yeah,
$260,000 a year. And then if you go look at taking taxes out of it, if you were to take taxes out of that $1 million, you end up with like $700,000 roughly.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden that investment is not as good as it looked. You're now losing that $5,000 to what, $3,500 a week or so, which is, yeah, still very livable.
Very.
I think if I didn't, I look at my life and say, okay, I'm going to live long enough for that $5,000 to outperform that $1 million. If I knew I only had a few years to live or a few months to live, give me the $1 million. Let me just go spend it now.
Oh yeah.
But the $5,000 a week for the rest of my life, it's that gamble of, are you going to live to what I think would be about 7 years? If you're going to live another 7 years, that $5,000 a week then becomes more than that $1 million.
Definitely.
Would you rather have a missing finger or two extra fingers?
If I had a missing finger, then I would feel lopsided. And so I don't want to feel lopsided. I'd just rather have two extra fingers on one on each hand.
Well, it doesn't say it's necessarily one, it's just two extra fingers. So you could have 7 on one hand and 5 on the other.
But I would choose to, in that scenario, I'd just cut two fingers off. Might as well.
So you would take the two extras and go cut them off?
If they're uneven.
So the missing finger, I think, the problem I would have that is if that's a thumb. If you're missing a thumb, then it becomes a huge hindrance because you lose a lot of ability of your hand. But if it was just like a pinky or something, it maybe wouldn't. I mean, I've never lost a finger. So I'm careful how to say this. I don't know what it's like to lose a finger. The two extra fingers, I don't know what I would do with them. I guess if you know, it's now easier to, you can count more on your hands. You now can count to 12 instead of 10.
Yeah, but then that means you're going to try and live your whole life in base 12. Do you really want to do that?
No, that's what that would be tough because I've learned to handle life by 10s. It's much easier than 12s.
But, and everybody else handles it in base 10, so why would you do it in base 12?
The other thing is if you're missing a finger, do you have to go through the pain of that finger being removed?
I doubt it. I think it would just kind of be poof, it's gone. However, there's still going to be a stump there, as if it was cut off. You just didn't get the pain from it.
I think I would go with the two extra fingers.
How fun would it be to walk up to someone and say, how many fingers am I holding up? They not realize you have two extra fingers. You hold up all your fingers. They go, 10. You go, no, I'm holding up 12.
It would be, that would definitely be, be different. Yeah. I mean, and again, two extra fingers probably aren't as noticeable. You know, so someone, if they weren't looking carefully, they wouldn't. So it wouldn't look as awkward.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were missing a finger, you know, and you had, like you said, you had a part of it left there below the knuckle or something, it would be more noticeable. Although I've seen people missing fingers, and it's not really like that weird. I mean, it's
considered normal.
I wouldn't consider it normal. I think having all fingers is normal.
Well, if you're missing a finger, it's considered more normal than having two extra fingers.
Yeah, okay, I get, yes. Yeah, because you don't see someone who has 12 fingers. I've never seen someone with 12 fingers.
You'd be taken to Area 51.
I have heard of people who've had 12 toes. I have heard of that before. People have extra toes.
Yeah.
Girl, I've heard people of that, but I've never heard of anybody having extra fingers.
Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna end our Would You Rather question at that point, and we're going to move on to the Super Fight segment, which if you remember back into, I think it was episode 1, we did a Super Fight. And we're going to bring that back, and we've got four characters here.
Yes.
You want to give us a quick recap on how this works, Aaron?
So, essentially, there are four different characters, and each character is a recognizable character, object, or thing. And each character has two attributes, which can either be a hindrance or it can be a buff. And so we're going to put them in a tournament-style sort of thing.
All right, so what's character number one?
First character...
Or who is character number one?
The first character is a shark that shoots glitter and can become any animal.
So it's a shark, but it can become any other animal as well.
Yes.
And it shoots glitter. Okay.
So it's like an any animal.
All right. And who is the shark going to battle against?
The shark is battling the Illuminati in a helicopter with no depth perception.
Okay, so immediately, like, if this is a fight, it's like, the Illuminati don't really have any weapons on it right now. The shark, the disadvantage the shark has against the Illuminati is the Illuminati's in a helicopter. The shark can become an animal, so it could become a flying animal of any sort, a dragon or a pterodactyl or whatever. It could become, you know, something to take out the helicopter and bring the Illuminati to ground, or better yet, drop it in the ocean to where the shark then becomes a shark and eats them.
The Illuminati might also have, it might be in, like, a battle helicopter with guns on it, so it could shoot down the flying animal. However, the depth perception in this scenario may become very much a hindrance as they're trying to shoot something when they realize it's actually on top of the windshield.
Yeah, I think the depth perception would really hinder the shooting. I don't know what kind of helicopter they're in. If you want to say they're in some kind of military or attack helicopter, it's fine. But I think of the shark... You know, when they start shooting, the shark can just turn back into some little, like a mosquito, where they can't see it.
Yeah.
And then sneak up behind the helicopter, then turn back into a dragon, and then just knock the helicopter out of the sky. Or some, you know, some kind of dinosaur. I mean, it doesn't say it has to be a living animal, just any animal, right? So they could become a dinosaur, you know, from the ground, just take the helicopter out and smack it right down, and then just devour the Illuminati. So I think the shark wins that, even with the glitter.
There's a clear winner, yeah, with the shark, with or without the glitter.
Yeah,
the shark
is clear. They can glitter the helicopter so they can't see where they're flying and just let the helicopter crash. I mean,
but there's clear winner, the shark.
Okay, yeah, I agree. All right, next two contestants.
The next contestants are the Statue of Liberty, which has tiny T-Rex arms, and is a hoarder.
Okay. Against?
Robin Hood, who throws knives, and is a tween.
So Robin Hood throws knives, which is kind of fitting because he is an archer as well, so I'm assuming he also has his bow and arrows.
Yes.
Along with the knife-throwing skills.
But he's a tween.
He's a tween. That's fine. Robin Hood was fairly young. I mean, I think he was probably a little older than a tween, but that's okay. Being a tween, I don't think hinders him at all. Statue of Liberty, I'm trying to think, is how she's going to fight.
How is the Statue of Liberty going to be killed?
That's true. She's not necessarily a living thing, I guess, other than he would just take her legs out to where she crashes to the ground and crumbles to pieces or something.
He can't do that because her legs are so big and they're made of copper. You're not going to destroy copper with a knife and some bow and arrows.
And he throws knives. I didn't see how They could be huge knives.
But they're not going to cut through copper.
He could have explosives attached to his arrows, shoot him, hit her, and blow up.
He's not the Green Arrow. He's Robin Hood. He's got normal arrows.
The other thing is, she's a hoarder. What is the Statue of Liberty hoarding?
Ships. I don't know. If anytime a ship comes past her, she just picks it up with her tiny T-Rex arms and sets it next to her.
She can't bend over because she's on a pedestal. She can't bend over to the water with those arms. And I mean, she bends over to reach a ship. She's going head first into the water.
Oh, well, then so, maybe she hoards
so then
things.
She, so then she drowns.
She hoards things in the water. She doesn't have to breathe. She's made of copper.
But copper won't last. I mean, the oxidation, just when she goes in the salt water, the oxidation process speeds up and she's going to deteriorate much quicker.
But it is oxidized. It's been oxidized a lot already and she seems normal.
Not actually in the water.
Yes, but I don't think that big of an amount of copper would oxidize within a few seconds. Robin Hood, I feel like, would die before it finished oxidizing.
Well, this is a tough see. I feel like you think the Statue of Liberty is going to win this battle, and I think Robin Hood's going to win the battle. This is going to be, I don't know how we're going to decide this one, because I, just like you said, how does Robin Hood kill Statue of Liberty? I don't know how Statue of Liberty kills Robin Hood other than just waits him out until he just dies of natural cause.
That's what I feel like is going to happen, is the Statue of Liberty just kind of lives longer than Robin Hood.
But I think during that time, Robin Hood can find a way to blow her up.
Very true.
I mean, and she's not going anywhere. So it's not like she can hide.
She could swim. I bet you she can swim. Statue of Liberty can swim quite well. She's like...
Not if she has T-Rex arms. You go out in a pool and try to swim and like basically not use your arms. It's difficult.
She can try.
It's not easy.
I couldn't imagine.
And if she's a hoarder with all those ships, that's going to wear her down. She's going to sink to the bottom.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to picture the Statue of Liberty with actual size T-Rex arms.
I got it. Robin Hood, he's a thief, right? He's going to steal all the stuff that she hoards. And then she's going to be so depressed that she's going to take her own life and just jump in the water and drown.
Yeah, that sounds about right, for sure.
I think that, I mean, I just think that's what it's going to be. So Robin's going to steal her stuff she hoards, gives it to the poor, and then maybe the poor people who then become on his side then all gang up on the Statue of Liberty and take her out if she doesn't take her own life.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that leaves us Robin Hood versus the shark.
And to recap, the shark shoots glitter and can become any animal while Robin Hood throws knives and is a tween.
This is tough because Robin Hood has a weapon now. Two weapons, his bow and arrow and his knives that he throws. The shark just has whatever animal he is, whatever, you know, they have for attacking.
I think we could still go with the scenario, though, that if he becomes a mosquito, he could kind of, like, sneak his way to Robin Hood and then turn back into a shark and eat him alive.
He'd just become a mosquito that has malaria, bite Robin Hood, give him malaria, and let him die that way or something.
Or he could go for the quick death and then shoot glitter in Robin Hood's eyes and then become so that Robin Hood thinks the shark just kind of swam away, but instead he turned into a mosquito and then poof, there he is behind him.
Yeah, I think you're right, because no matter where the fight takes place, the shark has the advantage because he can just become an animal that fits that habitat, that terrain. And even though Robin Hood has the weapons, I think the shark is really unbeatable. I mean, the glitter is just a bonus.
Yeah.
I got to go with the shark. I think the shark wins this one.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so our shark is the champion for this round. All right, so now we're going to head into the final segment of our show today. And we're going to, I'm going to read to you, Aaron, some Yelp reviews. And these are reviews, all these reviews come from reviews of national parks. These are real reviews that people posted. I just want to get your take on some of these. All right, so we're going to start out here. The first one is a review of Bryce Canyon National Park. And the reviewer says, I would recommend not to go in the cold months because it is very cold.
I can see what they're trying to say with that review, but I think it's kind of already, what's the word? I think it's already implied that it's going to be cold during the cold months, but I think they're trying to say it's too cold to enjoy.
But Maybe. If you go anywhere in the cold months, it's going to be cold. If there is a cold month in the area, it is going to be cold. Hence the name cold months. I mean, that's kind of that. Just takes common sense.
Very true.
All right. Here's our next review, which is of the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. And the reviewer wrote, sorry, I'm laughing already. Paid $20 to get in, didn't get to touch lava.
What?
They're disappointed because they couldn't touch lava. They went to the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, which you expect to see a lot of lava.
Yeah.
And they're mad because they couldn't touch it. They paid $20 and couldn't touch the lava. You know what? I think they should let this person touch lava.
They should. I would be disappointed if I couldn't touch lava either. He paid $20, or she. They paid $20 to get in, and they can't touch lava? What kind of nonsense is this?
I think if I was in National Park, I would send them back. You know what? I'm going to give you a free entrance to the park, and you can go touch that lava. Just make them sign a waiver first, because they're not going to have a hand left after they're done if they're still living. But let them just understand that there's a reason why they can't touch lava.
Or you just say, hey, how about you go not only touch it, but just jump in. Jump into the lava. Just do that.
Go for a swim.
Yeah.
All right. The next review is of the Grand Canyon National Park. And the reviewer writes, whoopity-doo, Grand Canyon. You are a giant hole in the ground. You were caused by erosion. You don't have roller coasters or dipping dots. Jeez, can you say overrated?
They're mad because the Grand Canyon doesn't have dipping dots.
Nah, maybe there should be a store somewhere that sells dipping dots, a tourist store that sells dipping dots in the Grand Canyon. Maybe there is, he just didn't find it. Maybe there should be a roller coaster there, too. I don't know. Maybe you need a roller coaster in the Grand Canyon might be incredible.
That would be really, really, really cool.
But if you're going to the Grand Canyon, don't you have an idea of what it is before you, like, to go there expecting to see a roller coaster or dipping dots, you're just setting yourself up for failure there.
Exactly. You're just, what's your favorite part about going to the Grand Canyon? The dipping dots.
I know. I mean, if that's the case, I can just go to the local amusement park or the local stadium or somewhere and just buy Dippin' Dots and save myself a trip to the Grand Canyon or somewhere else. I don't know. All right. Here we go. Here's our last one. I don't know if I saved the best for last, but this was definitely interesting. So this is a review of the Rocky Mountain National Park. And the reviewer wrote, way overrated. First of all, there's wildlife everywhere. Who wants to run into a moose on the trail? What if it eats you? And the rangers are all way too friendly. It's like they're completely oblivious to all the suffering in the world. There's more. Plus, there's not a single Starbucks on any of the trailheads. Finally, too many snow-capped mountains. I like to see the horizon at all times. It calms me.
So they're mad because they're in wildlife. The rangers are too friendly.
There's no Starbucks. There's too many snow-capped mountains at the Rocky Mountain National Park. Again, do these people not know where they're going? If they want to see the horizon all times, go to the beach.
Exactly.
You don't go to the Rocky Mountain National Park and get upset because there's too many snow-capped mountains.
I also don't think that the rangers are constantly thinking about the suffering in the world. That's the thing.
So apparently, if there's suffering in the world, we all should be miserable. No one should be happy ever because there's somebody else suffering in the world, is what this person thinks.
Apparently.
And I don't know about you, but who wants to run into a moose on the trail? What if it eats you? Has a moose ever eaten a person that I know of?
I don't think so. Moose...
Are moose carnivores? They're not meese. They're mooses. Are mooses carnivores?
No, meese are herbivores.
Meese are herbivores? That's what I thought. So unless you're a vegetarian, they're not going to eat you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't know. People, you know, you can't fix stupidity, right?
I can't get my grande cappuccino in the middle of the Rocky Mountain National Park. I'm upset.
Maybe there are Starbucks at national parks. I mean, I'm sure it's possible somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
But they're mad because there's not a single Starbucks on any of the trailheads. So on the trails in the middle of this park, they expect to find a Starbucks. They don't want to be in a national park. They want to be in the city somewhere.
Exactly.
But then again, the city, there's plenty of wildlife. It's just not moose or meeses or whatever. It's people. And those people will eat you.
You think they got to touch the lava?
I'm surprised they weren't upset there wasn't a volcano. No, because they want to see the horizon. They don't want to see volcanoes either. They want to see the horizon at all times. It calms them. And they need to stay calm because obviously they have issues. We don't want to upset them. So next time, my recommendation to whoever it was that wrote that is go to the beach. You will see the horizon at all times.
And there will be Starbucks.
And there should be a Starbucks at the beach. They'll also have Dippin' Dots and roller coasters at the right beaches.
Yeah.
You could take your other buddy there who went to the Grand Canyon. You both could go to the beach.
Go to the boardwalk.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we have for today. Anything else you want to add, Aaron?
None at all.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank you again for downloading and listening. And as always, please take a moment to rate and review the show. You can reach us at theapplesaucepod@gmail.com.
Theapplesaucepod@gmail.com.
And facebook.com/theapplesaucepod. And with that, we're out of here.
Bye.